Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you, Lord, for the grace that gives us the broken heart and the contrite spirit. And how you bring the more grace. Lord, thank you that your way is a lowly way. Thank you, Lord, for the heartache. Thank you, Lord, for sorrow. Thank you, Lord, for the suffering. Thank you, Lord, for the long night. Thank you, Lord, for the valley. Thank you, Lord, for the furnace. Thank you, Lord, for the lion's den. Without those things, it would not be the same. Without those things, you would not be praised. Without those things, there would be no turning. Thank you, Lord, that we rejoice. We are brand new. Thank you for that precious blood that flows from Calvary's mouth. Thank you for that washing. Thank you, Lord, that we are cleansed forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I am expecting him this morning. Like never before. And it should only grow. Amen. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the testimonies of faith we've had that have gone before us. And by the way, if the Lord tarry, that's what you'll get tonight. Is some sweet testimony of one particular that we were graced with that went before us. Praise God. I encourage you to come if we get there. But let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2 right now. In 1 Peter chapter 2, let's read about us in Christ. And it says in the 9th verse in 1 Peter chapter 2, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Bible goes on, Romans 30, chapter 8, verse 33. Calls us the elect of God. Can you imagine the likes of us being called the elect of God? And all I can say to that is, boy, if we ain't been blessed. And we've been blessed as we know the Word of God. We've been blessed with it all. And it's all through Jesus. But we're so thankful that the Bible tells us in many ways how Jesus loves us. Many ways how He has blessed us, if you will. And you go on over and you look how he did this for us. He told the disciples in Matthew chapter 13, verse 10. And he told these disciples when they asked him, they said, Jesus, why do you speak to us in parables? And I love the answer. And boy, I pray they really cherished it because I cherish it for them. And I cherish it for me. But in Matthew 13, verse 10, and the disciples came and said unto Jesus, why speak thou unto them in parables? He answered and he said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. That's a mighty statement. That's a wonderful statement to us who believe. Because you see the Word of God, is for us. Did you hear that? How about this way? The Word of God is for you. His voice, His call, if you will. He's called us, amen? He's chosen us. The Bible tells us this. But it is for us. You go on over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And in verse 14, it says, The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. Did you hear that? The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But us, if you jump up two verses to verse 12, us, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Oh my. And brothers and sisters, I have to tell you this, just like those disciples, yet even more to us. And I think it's never ironic with God, but it's just the way he does it makes it so special. We got even more of this, and we did get it through a disciple by the name of Peter regarding Brother Paul. So go on over to 2 Peter chapter 3. How wonderful. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, it says there, halfway in there, it says, as our beloved Paul also according to the wisdom given unto him hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles speaking in them these things, in which are some things which are hard to be understood, which they or by them that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures. And when you wrestle with the scriptures, what happens? It's to your own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things. Isn't that wonderful how he tells you this? To whom much is given. And I'll tell you what he's given and poured forth given. He says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. So get out of your own steadfastness. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Now do you see it? Oh, praise God, Lord, let us see this. Just like his disciples, just like to us, it's all through the knowledge of the Word of God. It's always going to be by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Amen. It has to be spiritually discerned. I thank God as he does this. I thank the Lord as he's told us and assured us, I will have grace upon whom I'll have grace. And I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. Brothers and sisters, we have to understand he is God. God does not waste time. God does not waste his word. No way. He doesn't mess around. He goes right after whom he foreknew. Whom he foreknew. And oh, what a predestination you have, because he foreknew your heart. He foreknew you. He went right after you. He foreknew that your heart would realize. See, here's the beauty of your heart in knowing Jesus Christ. You realized you were blind and needed to see. You realized, praise God, that, thank you, Lord, you needed a Savior. But see, in that foreknowledge of what he knew about your heart and what you would know that you needed to receive, I'll tell you what, he prepared so much more to give us. So much more. So much exceeding abundantly above all ye ask or think more. That's the word of God. Isn't that wonderful? You come in and you know Jesus is Savior and it's like, oh my goodness. Thank you, Lord. I've got a Savior. I've got the lover of my soul. I've got my keeper. I'm in his hand. I'm in the Father's hand. No man will pluck me out of his hand. I can't do it. No one can. It's a love that can never be separated. But thanks be to God, just the very beginning. And I have to say, it has exceeded all my thoughts. It has exceeded all my expectations. He exceeds everything that I could ever imagine about him. Because eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the hearts of men what God has prepared for them that love him. But oh, as I settle down by His Spirit. Oh, the deep things of God. And the deep things of God are not imagined. The deep things of God are spoken. They're taught. And they're taught by the Holy Ghost. They're taught by the ones, He will glorify me. My son was glorified by a wife. The Holy Spirit has come to glorify him. There's a message that will bring him his glory. Oh, but I know the Word of God. Be thankful you know the Word of God and know it more. Amen? I'm speaking to ones with a heart like a Joshua. You know, Joshua was kind of old at that time. Same with Caleb. Those two old codgers, they were the ones that take those kids and going to lead them into the promised land. But you know, it was that old fella that knew so much. And you know, can you imagine this? He knew Moses pretty well. He hung out with him in the temple when no one else would. He stayed there. I should say in the tabernacle, excuse me. But old Joshua knew something. You know what he knew? There was more. And you know what he encouraged those kids as an old codger? There's more land to walk through. I mean, I abided with Moses and I heard the things of God through that man. But I'm telling you, honeys, there's more. And it's never changed. It's never changed. Now, here we go. He's God. He foreknew your heart. He knew you'd want him. And he's ready to give you so much more. But I'm going to tell you something. He's not going to give it to those that are going to wrestle on with the truth. It's going to go, it'll be a time that'll pass you by. And I think God showed us this very well through Jacob. Jacob, you know, was a wrestler. The Word of God said he wrestled with God. God even had to touch his hip. And it made it lame, if you will, for the rest of his life. But do you know why Jacob wrestled with God? You know why he did? Because he doubted God's blessing. He doubted God's blessing. He didn't believe in the immensity of the promise that God had already blessed him with. And that was each one of us, even though if we've come to the place where you've settled in, you know what? He has blessed me with this. He has blessed me with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. I do know when he tells me, I know this. When he tells me, know the love of Christ, I know he has given me that grace to increase my faith, to go after, to know the love of Christ. I don't doubt that. I talk to so many people throughout every week. Well, we can't know the love of Christ, the depth of it, the immensity of it. And I said, well, that's not scriptural. That's not. Paul's prayer, the Holy Ghost, that we would know the love of Christ and every dimension of it. Amen. I believe God. See, brothers and sisters, don't wrestle with the truth. But see, that's exactly what Jacob did. He wrestled with the blessing that God had already blessed him with. You think about that blessing. God told his sweet mom, Rebecca, when she was carrying him in her womb with that brother Esau. Those two were in her womb. And God spoke to her and told her very clearly, the elder is going to serve the younger. That's the way it's going to be. And let me tell you something about that, Rebecca. She told her son. She knew that. She told her son all those things about how to go get that blessing. That was already his. He didn't steal the blessing. That was his blessing. He went after and got his blessing. It didn't matter how it looked like to everybody else. And I hear so many stinking, selfish, righteous preachers will go in there and say, oh, well, see, he didn't have to do it that way. He didn't have to do it. Let me tell you something. It had to be that way. Because the Lord is showing him, get over your self-righteousness, son. You better listen to that mother full of grace. And get in there and take it by any means. Any means. And that's every life here. Your life is in any means. And you better get that. And somebody to discourage you about your life, you go back and read about your life. No, my life is if by any means that I might attain. However it's going to be, God, you do it. It is not going to be the way that I choose. It's not going to be with my frilly words or my self-righteous steps. It's going to be through defeat. It's going to be through sorrow. It's going to be through down settings. But he foreknew this man. And I've got a burning in my heart to win him, to finish, praise God, as he finished for me. Tielio, my son. As Paul said, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I fought a good fight. Huh? Oh, yes. And that crown. That crown. You, Jesus. You are the crown. Oh, my. I don't want to wrestle with God. See, Jacob literally was wrestling with God to bless him with a blessing that was far less than what God already blessed him with. Listen to that. Listen to that. What are you asking God for? The rudiment things of this life? What are you believing God for? You keep trying to take back the palm. And he said, no, honey, I've given you a crown. Brother David was mentioning about that reception yesterday. There was my son with his glory, his wife. Wouldn't it have been just horrible if she just kept going down and bowing down to him and trying to just get him stuff and serving him and taking care of him and getting plates and bringing trays and all those. You'd say, what's wrong with her? And he would say, what's wrong with you? This is my wife. This is my glory. Why you keep trying to take back the palm? He's given you a crown. He's given you Paul's gospel. Don't take that palm. There'll be an innumerable multitude that will have that. Do you believe him that he foreknew you? Do you believe him that he said, I'll perform the good work which I have begun in you? You're here for that purpose. There's no other purpose. This is the fully purposed gospel. Amen. This is the Ephesus, fully purposed. This was that encouragement through Paul, what he prayed for those people day and night, that they'd be fully purposed to take this, amen, that they wouldn't doubt, that we wouldn't doubt. Amen. Even though that promise was yea and amen for Jacob, Jacob was still going to have that promise. But you know what? If you really look at his life, in many ways, it's not to be critical, but he lived so much under the life of the blessing wherewith he was blessed. So much of his life, he didn't live that blessing. And yet he had that sweet grandpa, Abraham. What a grandpa. So enriched in faith. To be assured and confident in the promises of God, which are all by faith. I'm living the word of God. It's living in me. You know that? It does. It's alive in us. I do. I just want to soar to glory. But you know, you got to be soaring right now. You know that. Now, here we go. Those that wrestle with the bridal message, brothers and sisters, are in that same unbelief as Jacob regarding his blessing. That's what wrestling with the marvelous bridal message is. You are doubting God. And I know you don't want to doubt God. You don't want to doubt God. But see, what happens when we doubt God is we look away from His Word. We look away from Jesus and what He's promised. Why would we want to look away from Jesus? You know He's beautiful. You know He's lovely. You know He died on that cross just for you. You know that beneath all of that blood that was smeared and that flesh that was torn more than any man's, there was a smile. Father, You're pleased. I'm bringing the sons to glory. But I know that there was even more beyond. I'm going to have my wife. See, I want to please Him. And I know that by pleasing Him, it's going to take faith and believe what God has blessed me with. But see, brothers and sisters, Abraham, he believed God. He was enriched in faith. He was confident in what God had given him. And so, when we're doubting God, we too would wrestle with Him for something far less than what is intended for us. Do you know that? Do you know that this bridal message truly was intended for all men? He said, I would that all men be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. So, once again, whether it's even the sinner that refuses salvation, he refuses. For even my brother and sister in Christ, or even myself, if I refuse the bridal message, it's because I refused. Paul's gospel, as it says in the Word of God, has been preached to every creature under heaven. Read that in Colossians. It's there. It's fully there. But yet somehow you hear the voice not only of the shepherd, but of the bridegroom. Oh, yes, you do. Oh, and he whispers sweet things to you, doesn't he? Most things I ever hear, I love you. I'm in love with you. I'm ravished by you. I can't take my eyes off you. And then I can't tell you all the other stuff he says. You know. That's just with him and me. Now, here we are, brothers and sisters. And you think, whether it was Jacob, whether it was Abraham, or whether we got a far beyond treasure than that. Beyond a David, beyond all the prophets of the old. We know this. It tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 that we have been given a better thing than them. The word of the Lord tells us we have exceeding great and precious promises. It's not to compare, it's just to say, yes, Lord, it is. And then God, in the same way with us, you know what? He chose you to hear this. Have you really thought about who you are to God? Do you know how rare this is and how rare truly the gold, silver, and precious stone, that's what's in you that you are to God. The millions and millions of God's precious people, and they are precious, every one of them, because of the blood of Jesus. But here you are hearing this, that He gave you an ear to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You're something. I mean, weigh something to the only thing that matters, Him. He's enlightened the eyes of your understanding through the Holy Ghost to see, yea, the deep things of God. And now, will we draw nigh in full assurance and faith, believing God? That was the difference. That calling was there. But will we be like, last week we spoke of Abraham, will we be like him? Against his household, against his upbringing, against what his eyes would see, but yet he said, It's not what my eyes see. It's what God says. It's not what I think. It's what God says. It's not what I feel. It's what God says. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And here we are. And you know this, because you know the word of God. And you know what it tells you who you are. Galatians 4:1. Amen. You're little lords of all. You're little kings. You're not only born that way, you're expected. There's an expectation in the word of his grace for you to feed upon it and grow up into him in all things. The king. The ruling and reigning one. The same life that is in you. It's not your life that grows up into that. It's his life. Do you see that? And that's the life that you've been given. That's the only life, praise God, that God deals with is the life of his son. That's why it can grow up into him in all things. Because it's the very life of Christ. That's not hard for him. I know you believe that he lives in you. Do you not believe that he lives in you? Whose life is it? Does that life have really any limitations? No. And the full backing of the will of the Father is behind that life that lives in you. And here it is. He's enlightened the eyes of the understanding of that life to grow up into him in all things. So you know what? Let us diligently seek out the promise. It says in the word of God, it's of kings. Kings, seek it out. Search it out. Do you know he loves you? I mean that he loves you. Are you in love with him? Well, you know one thing about a lover? They devour the love letters of their love. Devour. They get in there and read and want to know more about every letter that was written. What's he really saying to me? I got to read that again. I think I'm going to get something else in there. I just pray to God. Lord, let that be me. Let that be you, huh? He's visiting. Here's the temple of the Lord. Amen. Present. His appearing. I love to honor you. And what an honor it is. As we started, what's it going to take? Well, it's on the wing. To wake up God's people, it's going to be a tribulation. And you were not called to enter into that wrath. You were not called for that. You were called to a meeting in the air. You were called with an ear to hear the trumpeter's voice. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Praise God. Let's bow our heads.
My beloved, I see you as a lily among thorns. I see you as my lily. Take your eyes off of those thorns.
just thank you in Jesus' name. We thank you for him and we give him all the praise. We thank you again for your beloved word and how beloved he is. How lovely he is. The fairest of 10,000. And Lord, thank you. You've given us more of a vision. You're leaping through the hills. The bridegroom in his raven hair. We can see him bobbing as we come up over this last rise. What an honor it is to gather with like faith precious saints. What a privilege it is to be in the presence of the kings. The honor and glory of what your life, given freely, has done. The transformation of the sons of God. And someday fully they will be known. And thank you what it is all about. I will make known to all that I have loved thee. Thank you, beloved lover of our soul. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.